The recording has started. You may proceed.
Thank you very much. This is Chuck Gomes, and this is the CWG Stewardship Design Team O meeting on the 4th of November, 2015. Welcome to those that are on the call. The purpose of this meeting is kind of a little kickoff for our reactivating Design Team O. And the background for that goes back to a budget planning session that was held in Dublin, although I participated and wasn't in Dublin, on Sunday afternoon into the evening. And in that session, we obviously talked about the process going forward, and Xavier and Carol and others on the finance team did a good job of leading us through a good discussion. But one of the things that it came up was the budget implications with regard to the eventual implementation of the CWG stewardship recommendations. And let me be clear right up front that it's not our role to decide how or when the implementation will occur, but it seemed natural for us as the IANA budget group in the CWG to serve maybe a coordinating role with regard to preparing and contributing to the budget process so that hopefully any delays can be minimized as much as possible with regard to the budget process and the overall implementation. Again, let me be clear, it's not our role to decide how things should be implemented or what, but if we can facilitate the full CWG in the assumptions that will be built into the budget, then I think we will contribute in a constructive way. Now, so to get things started, hopefully all of you saw the slides that Xavier has, and I would like him to go through those. I hope he can speak now. and go through these slides. They're up in the Adobe right now to kind of set the stage for what we're doing, and then we'll open up discussion on that after he does that. So Xavier, can you speak now? Not hearing him, so there must be something going on with regard to that. No, we're not hearing you, that's correct. So are you on mute? Xavier, have you dialed in, or are you in the Adobe? So not connected at the moment. So we'll let him try and get connected so that we can hear him. The in the meantime, why don't we go to the next slide, past the second slide, and we'll just put that up there for people to review.
Chuck?
Are you there? Xavier?
Can you hear me now?
Ah, we can.
Yeah.
Very good. Very good.
Can you hear?
Yes.
Thank you. I suddenly, yeah. Mic capabilities available, so then I was able to click in. Sorry for that false start.
No problem. Can you go ahead and go through these slides that you sent, and then we will open it up for discussion to make sure that everyone understands the process and how it relates, the budget process, operating plan and budget process, and in particular how it relates to the transition and budgeting for that.
Okay. And I have Trang with me in my office, so she will join in as needed. So the slide that is first in this presentation on which we are now is one that we put together and I apologize for the formatting and the bubbles at the top that's not appearing correctly. It's a PDF issue. It's a slide that we presented during the session on Thursday morning, was it, or Wednesday morning, I think, in Dublin, with the CWG. To just lay out the in parallel the two timelines for one, the planning process at the top, and second, the transition process at the bottom. So this is giving the opportunity to state that from our perspective, the two timelines and processes are independent from each other, but obviously are carried out in parallel, and what happens or does not happen from a transition standpoint needs to be taken into account from a planning standpoint to determine how we reflect the requirements of FY17 as we can see them. And the main topic here is to say that based on the logistics to produce an operating plan and budget document that is intended to be published for public comments on March 5th. It takes a certain amount of time to put together that document once all the assumptions are finalized and laid out. There's consolidation, there's reviews, there's drafting, there's further reviews, there's a BFC review. Anyway, there's a timeline that's required, and this is where we had laid out basically a cutoff of January 15th or approximately January 15th to have finalized any assumptions.
Did we lose Xavier?
When we look at that, we can see that, Chuck, you were saying?
Well, you disappeared for a little bit and came back, but you seem to be coming through again. Go ahead.
Okay, sorry. So the bottom line is that under the presumption that the transition process timeline is the one that is here, and we are showing here the scenario of the proposal to the board in NTIA is made available by the end of December 2015, which will... It has changed already, so it's pushed out a bit. But I guess it just makes the point even further that we will have to basically define an assumption of how we're going to reflect the potential proposals in the plan approximately by January 15th. And therefore, under that approach, what assumptions should we define for So I can stop here, though, to see if there's any questions or comments that we want to make at this stage before we move on to the next slide.
So does anyone have a question? And while you're thinking about that, so the intent of our work in Design Team O between now and the 15th of January is to assist the CWG as much as possible in clarifying the assumptions that staff will use to develop the draft budget between the 15th of January and the 5th of March. So the cutoff for the assumptions is 15 January. Now, that does not mean that the assumptions have to be totally locked in. We know that there's lots of work going on and things might change. But to the extent that by January 15th, the CWG can reach as much consensus as possible regarding the assumptions that we will be built into the budget for the transition, the fiscal year 17 budget, then that will obviously make the process much more effective during the public comment period, which starts on the 5th of March, and lessen the chance of problems or delays after that. Now, again, it doesn't mean that things can't be changed, because we can't really control that in terms of the overall processes for accountability and for the transition itself. But our goal then would be to assist the CWG as a whole, because it's not up to us to define the assumptions, but hopefully we can facilitate discussion in the full CWG so that before we get to 15th of January, there's reasonable, maybe full consensus in the CWG with regard to what assumptions should be made in building that draft budget. Xavier, go ahead.
Chuck, thank you. I think this is helpful to clarify. I was simply going to offer a slightly different twist to what you just said, in the sense that we don't believe that it's necessary for the CWG to develop anything further than what has currently been developed for the simple purposes of the planning, meaning it's not the planning process that requires the CWG to define anything further. What I think, from my perspective, would be really helpful is that we can use this group to help ensure that the assumptions that we would collectively as a community define to include in the plan are not conflicting, and the CWG does not object with that assumption or those set of assumptions being retained in the plan, because it would be stupid for all of us together to have a different perspective as to what we reflect in the plan. So it's less about the CWG developing anything further relative to the proposal of the CWG, but it's more, in my view, for us to have open lines of communication that let us be able to spell out assumptions that make sense. In this group, the DTO could really help doing that, and then communicating with the CWG those assumptions to ensure there's no conflict or objections in these assumptions being consistent with the spirit of the CWG proposal. That's the way I'm looking at it. Does it make sense, Chuck?
It does, Xavier, and I think maybe you said it clearer than I did. So, again, we're not changing anything in the proposal, but we're going to review the assumptions and test them, not only with ourselves, but ultimately with the full CWG, to make sure we're all on the same page, so that as we move down the road and the budget is built, there hopefully will only be minimal changes, if any, to the assumptions that will be built into the draft budget. So, yeah, that's very good. Now, let me open it up to anyone who has a question, because it's important that we're all on the same page in the design team with regard to this. Any questions? Okay. It sounds like everybody is okay on that, so go ahead and proceed, Xavier.
Thank you. Thank you, Chuck. Can you go to the next slide, please? So I think that Mary and Chuck were part of the group that met in Dublin on the Sunday, end of day local time. And, of course, Chuck was on the phone with us. But just to recap, what I think are the key takeaways relative to what we are discussing from the discussion of that group was, let's try to keep things simple, one, and second, in no specific order, let's try to keep the process on time. I think that from an accountability standpoint, it would be, first of all, it's not the best practice. Second, we want to be on time. Third, it would be really looking bad at this time from an accountability standpoint that we do not manage to keep the process on time. So I think it's a very important requirement that's independent from anything else. Keeping things simple has a number of, or is driven in our views by a number of requirements, which is simply, one, we need to be able to make the plan sufficiently simple that as many people can look at it, understand it, and be able to comment on it, and having overly complicated structure and approach in the plan would hinder that a bit. Two, it's also easier to produce a plane where things are simple. And third, even though it's not on this slide, considering the fact that we need to finalize assumptions so much in advance anyway of having a large amount of information to be able to plan in detail, then keeping things simple is also the best approach to not try to define assumptions without having the ability to, and therefore take positions that would need, that will require justification without having the facts that support that justification. So precision is not accuracy. It's no use to be very granular without the information to do so. This is the approach or the mindset of the, what I would say is the consensus of the group that discussed on that. Will correct anything for both Cheryl and Olivier to have that feedback. And Cheryl was present as well part of the time. In order to then go into the next slide, which is what can we think is an approach in on the planning basically for the impact of the CWG proposal. During F-17. So if we go on the next slide, thank you. So I was simply trying to spell out here very at a very high level what I'm suggesting for purposes of simplicity and keeping on time we do for the budget. I think that there is, you know, at this stage, after Dublin, there is a presumption or a consensus that timing being a side note for the minute, we will find a way for this transition to effectively happen. And therefore, we should have as a base scenario, a scenario under which the PTI is implemented and therefore, we need to define an approach of how the PTI is implemented.
You went blank.
The planning year transition process would be such that there wouldn't be nothing to reflect in the FY17 plan from an implementation standpoint. Therefore, we are suggesting that there is a base scenario that we retain in the operating plan and budget for 17, and that scenario being the PTI is implemented. In addition, we're also suggesting to have a base approach, which is there's no operational separation or no change to the current operational separation, should I say, between the INF functions in the rest of the operations of ICANN. There's no change between after the implementation or before the implementation. And therefore, we keep things as is from a separation standpoint. For example, there's a separate INA department where Elise and her team are located. Everybody else that participates to the upper, the INF functions are
doing blank again. Not hearing you, Xavier. Can people hear me?
Yes, we can, Chuck. It's Xavier. We take dropping.
Yep.
Thanks. Okay. So, Xavier, I don't know. Periodically, you keep dropping, and at the moment, we cannot hear you. So, not sure what's going on at your end.
It's Olivier here. There have been some issues with Adobe Connect. I've had some earlier today with, and I've got good connectivity around here, but it seems to drop out for a while, and then it catches up and drops out and catches up.
Well, you know,
I think
these Olivier things
might be better off actually dialing in.
Maybe we could just get him to, you know, pick up a phone and Brenda could dial him.
Yeah, let's find. So, Xavier, we're not hearing you. If you haven't dialed in, I wonder if it's possible for you to dial in because it appears that you're being dropped periodically in the Adobe room if that's how you're communicating.
I'm sure Brenda's trying to sort it all out, but, you know,
it doesn't help
when Mary's got a slow, you know, Mary's already got a slow connection and it would be impossible for her, I would have thought. Yeah, thanks, Trang. Be good if he could get a telephone link as well, though.
While we're waiting here, Trang, I really appreciate you participating in these calls as well, since your task with the whole team there on implementation. So thank you very much for joining us, along with those from finance. So
yeah, it is appreciated. You're right, Chuck. One of the questions I wanted to ask is Cheryl, for the record, by the way. One of the questions I wanted to ask, or comment perhaps more than a question I wanted to ask on this slide, is I think it's fairly important that as this is this planning aspect is socialized, that it's terribly clear and popped out quite obviously in any documentation that this is an FY17 approach, and that there is no resistance to looking at opportunity for structural separation or operational separation from a reporting perspective, let alone from a future structural separation potential. So I just want to make sure that community doesn't grab onto what looks like a very sensible plan to me to get this thing going as any form of plot to resist more detailed reporting capabilities and getting a handle on more specific costs analysis in the future. Thanks.
Thanks, Cheryl. This is Chuck. And Olivia, I'm going to go to you. I think your point is well taken, and that's probably a question once for Xavier when he gets back on. Does staff view this very minimal implementation of PTI in terms of separation as a temporary solution, or if it works, a longer-term solution? And I'm not advocating one way or the other, but I'm curious as to what staff thinks on that, and that would be a good thing. Let me go to Olivier.
Thanks, Chuck. It's Olivier speaking. I was going to say exactly what you were asking here, whether this is a temporary solution or whether this is something in the longer term. I'm discovering this as we're going along, since I did not attend the meetings in Dublin. I was unable to do so. And I personally think it seems like a very careful and a well thought out approach, as it is proposed to us here. Maybe I guess in socializing it with the other members of the working group of the CWG, we do have to remind them of the budget planning process being from a fiscal year to another fiscal year, in which case the FY17 would start on the 1st of July. Just because the number 17 is there, it doesn't mean we're waiting until 2017 for this to happen. That's just a concern, because I have noticed in some of our own community some confusion always with regards to the fiscal years. Thank you.
Thanks, Olivier. That's helpful. And I want to add another point to what Cheryl and Olivier said. I think point two on this slide, in terms of presenting it to the full CWG to test it and make sure we're all on the same page, needs to be elaborated quite a bit more. We don't need to go into minute detail, but just saying no change to operational separation probably needs to be explained further. And I think I understand, probably all of us on this call understand what the staff means in terms of no operational separation, but I suspect there will be people in the CWG that don't. And I think we need to add to this things like, I mean, PTI will have its own board, and I don't know what that means in terms of any management changes. Do we also mean that there would be no changes in management? I think it's pretty clear that the shared infrastructure and overheads in this scenario would be just like they are now. But at the same time, from a budget point of view, I think it's essential that the PTI budget, whether there's operational separation or not, be clearly differentiated from, even if it's with shared expenses. I think the community, and in particular the CWG, is going to want to see a clear, unambiguous breakout of the costs of PTI. So I think number two really needs to be presented to the full CWG in quite a bit more detail. Trang, go ahead, please.
So it's Xavier, because for some reason I got kicked out, but Trang hasn't, which is great.
You didn't sound like Trang.
I'm not trying to, by the way. I'm not trying to. Let me try to address the few comments that have been made. And Cheryl, I apologize. While you were speaking, we reconnected. So I don't know what we've heard and not heard, but I think Chuck
seems to have lost you again.
Oh, dear. Can someone just phone the man, please?
That would be appreciated. Thank you, Cheryl.
Brenda, make it better.
Chuck, it's Olivier speaking. I saw that Trank's hand had been up for a while, and perhaps we could have given the floor to Trang, but now Trang has also disappeared. So it seems that wherever they are, their telcos are not doing too well.
Yeah, I get that impression, Olivier. Thanks. This is Chuck. And I think Xavier was using Trang's connection, and apparently Trang's connection went down as well.
We just couldn't let Xavier speak, perhaps. It's all about Xavier not talking to us, I think, because the Gremlin was very specific.
Marika, are you on, or Brenda, are you on the audio or just the Adobe?
This is Marika. I am on audio.
So if we could get them on the audio via phone, it seems like that might solve our problem. I don't know why that hasn't happened. And Brenda's working on a dial-out.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks, Brenda.
She's working on it.
Olivier, agree with your comment in the chat, and I think Cheryl is agreeing with that too in her previous comment there.
Chuck, this is Xavier. We joined on the phone because both Trang and I have been kicked out, so at least
excellent. So go ahead and pick up where you left off, and if we need to back up to Cheryl's comments, we can do that. But let's see what you got.
So apologize for the hectic speech here with the logistical challenges. So bottom line, the question was, is the approach of no change to the operational separation a short or long-term option from a staff standpoint? So let me spell it out the way I think about it, and I feel that Trang thinks in the same fashion. What we are seeing of the CWG proposal not addressing any specific requirement as to a level of operational separation. And if that's correct under that premise, why go for more complicated than needed? And therefore, not changing the operational separation of the functions versus what the way they currently are separated is simply the path of least resistance, the easiest approach, and also the less costly approach. So that's the only one that makes sense to do as long as it is not in conflict with the CWG proposal, and we have not so far seen any conflict between that approach and the CWG proposal. And of course, if the group sees differently, you should let us know, because we are not seeing that issue at this stage. So that's why we are going with this approach for now. Whether it's a short-term or long-term question is dependent upon whether there would be later on a different set of requirements driving the need for further separation. And I will also try to address the point that you made, Chuck, about visibility on the budget. To me, this is a separate and additional topic, is how much information are we being able to share and provide relative to the PTI/INA functions budget. And from my perspective, we have already started, but we would continue and probably more extensively to provide a view of what the PTI budget is within the overall ICANN budget as part of that ICANN budget document that's provided for public comment. We would have a very specific section that identifies the overall PTI budget with an amount of information and detail that I think we could all together design in the fashion that makes sense to have, and that we would produce as part of this document. So the visibility on the budget, in my views, is not tied or conditioned by the level of separation. By the way, what that separation is something that also would make sense, in my views, for transparency and clarity, would make sense to spell out. So when I say no change to the existing separation, we should say what is the existing separation, so that is very clear to everyone, and then it's more easy, or it's easier simply to comment as to whether that makes sense or not. And I think that's probably a prerequisite to be able to retain that assumption from a CWG standpoint.
Thanks, Xavier. Totally, as you can see by my check mark, I totally agree with that last point you made, and I think it's really important to see that. Now, one of the things that I understand, and I'm not in the accountability CCWG, but from my understanding with regard to budget accountability, there seems to be an understanding in the CCWG, and I think the broader community, that that accountability with regard to the IANA or PTI budget is a critical part of the budget accountability. So having a clear picture of what that budget is and how it changes going forward, I think is a prerequisite. Now, Xavier, are you saying that that come the point of, I know you didn't go this far, let me rephrase that. So are you planning that by the time the transition happens, that you would be able to, the finance team I'm talking about, would be able to present a clear PTI budget, regardless of the fact that there's shared infrastructure overheads and no operational separation? Or do you see that as a process that may have to be continued past the actual transition, assuming the transition happened by September 2016?
So, thank you, Chuck. Let me back up a second. I'm expecting that by the 5th of March, in the document that will be submitted for public comment, we would, under the scenario that I laid out in the slides, we would have somewhere in the document assumptions laid out for how and how much of the PTI is implemented by when in FY17 or prior to, and with what impact financially, and possibly, presumably, in my views, with project-level information. Simply because, the reason I'm saying that is simply because that's our standard, right? This is what our standard is since last year, and therefore, that's what I'm presuming would be presented. So, yes, I would expect to have a PTI budget in section with information relative to that PTI budget in the FY17 document submitted for public comment by the 5th of March, irrespective of when the transition is. The only caveat relative to that last comment is if the transition would be of such a timing that its implementation would now be planned outside of FY17, meaning after July 1st, 17, then, of course, the FY17 plan would probably not have the same shape than it would if the implementation starts during FY17. So for now, I'm only assuming that the transition would be starting to be implemented sometime during FY17. Under that assumption, we would show a PTI budget, probably at the project level, with a certain amount of assumption. Does that answer your question, Chuck?
Yes, I think it does. Anybody else have a question in that regard? That clearly answers my question. And let me reemphasize, too, while people are thinking about that, that the what you said about the providing additional detail in terms of what no change in operational separation means is really critical, I think, in terms of what we present to the full CWG to test this base scenario.
I think that can be done earlier than, obviously, March 5th, meaning over the next few weeks, we can spell out how things look like today so that it can be used as an understanding of what that assumption means, which I would assume is going to help everyone feel comfortable or not with that assumption.
Yeah, thank you. That's good. In fact, we'll come back to that because I think when we finish this, thanks for the check mark, Cheryl. This is Chuck. I think that's going to probably be an action item that'll come out of our meeting today, because I do believe in the next couple weeks, if possible, it doesn't have to be exactly 2 weeks, but if we could in the next couple weeks come up with what this base scenario and its assumptions are and what they mean, and present that to, after another call by this group, present that to the full CWG for their feedback will be a critical step, because 2 weeks from now, we're already well past the middle of November and so forth, and we know we're going into a holiday season. So it would be really good if the full CWG, we can test the consensus of the assumptions before the holiday season, if possible, so we don't have too much carried over into January. Are there other questions or comments? Okay, then, Zavi, why don't you go ahead and finish. We stopped at item two. Why don't you go ahead and finish the slide?
Just one additional last comment on what you were saying earlier, and hopefully what I will say will make sense to everyone. But you mentioned, Chuck, the shared infrastructure and so on. Under the premise that we have a PTI, which is a separate legal entity, there will be what normally is called a management fee agreement, which is simply an SLA between the two legal entities that ICANN and the PTI are, that specifies what services ICANN provides to the PTI, like, for example, accounting support, HR support, maybe rent, and so on. So all those services would be listed, would be translated into dollar values to evaluate the costs of. And upon implementation, that is what would be then used for also planning purposes. You said this is what the budget of PTI would look like. So short of that having been developed, because it will be part of an implementation phase, we would make assumption as to what those costs would be, but that would be possible to do, and once for planning purposes. And I would use, honestly, the model that I have produced, when I say I, Taryn has produced, of the IANA functions cost. We would use that model, refine it a bit for planning purposes, and after the implementation, it would become a service-level agreement under which each service would be spelled out, the cost of those services would be spelled out, and that would be on a monthly basis how we would transact between the ICANN entity and the PTI entity, and that would then be used as a model for budgeting purposes in the future. But that's just transactional. This is just operational. This is how any type of parent-subsidiary relationship works in any group or organization. So that's very straightforward, and that does not prevent or impact the ability to produce a separate budget. I just wanted to make that clear.
Thank you.
Next slide, please. At the bottom of the slide, the only question which we've started to talk about is the timing of the implementation in terms of start, as well as how long would the implementation take. I think that when we get to January 15th, one thing that we will need to define together is when are we assuming that the implementation, let me rephrase, that the transition is effective. Let me take a very simplistic qualification of that question. If we say the implementation or the transition will be effective October 1st, for example, 2016, it's 3 months in to the fiscal year 17. How do we modelize that starting date? And are we taking 9/12 of a full year set of costs? That's what that question is trying to point out to, and we'll just need to see what we do there. how long would the implementation take is also a parameter in the sense that between effective date of the transition and how long the implementation will take to develop, either having started before or starting at the time of transition, therefore how what will be the date of effectiveness of the PTI of all the elements that are that go along with the PTI with the customer standing committee and so on and so on. That will be a point of, I would say, nearly logistics, which is what is the starting date for the effects of those of that implementation. And that's something that I don't know we can answer as of yet.
Thank you, and I think that makes sense. It seems to me, and obviously a lot of things are going to happen that none of us have control over with regard to what I'm going to say, but I think if things go ideally, that the actual implementation could start, some of the implementation could start even before the end of fiscal year 16, but certainly maybe the beginning, no later than the beginning of fiscal year 17, even though the transition itself would not take place possibly until October 1st. But those are details that will be worked out. So in the budget planning for fiscal year 17, I assume that there would be, again, depending on how things actually fall out, there would be budgeting for the costs related to implementation, like, for example, forming the new PTI and its board, et cetera, et cetera. So that would probably, even though the implementation itself, the actual transition may not happen until October 1st, there would be costs in fiscal year 17 before that, and maybe some even at the end of fiscal year 16. And, of course, so far the way those costs are being handled is through the reserve fund and so forth. Could we go back up to, and I'll go to Olivier, but could we roll back up to the, I think it was the second slide, which was the timeline, because if we look at the timeline here, it shows it depends, obviously, when NTIA approves the transition, because probably until they – maybe I should say possibly instead of probably – until NTIA approves the transition, it may be difficult to start some of the implementation work before that, but that's something we can talk about and work with the community on. But just looking at this, well, board approval shown in June 2016. Where is NTIA approval? That's not shown on that slide unless I'm missing something.
So Chuck, this is Karen. So that timeline, basically everything has shifted by half a month to the right. So phase one, which is the phase in that orange that you see there, represents the proposal development phase. And at the end of that phase, the end of that phase would signify ICANN board's approval or and transmission of the proposals to NTIA.
In other words, in January.
That would occur in middle of right now we're anticipating sort of in the middle of January. There is no specific day designated yet, but it will happen sometimes, you know, between middle to end of January.
Thanks. Then NTIA approval would occur estimated 5 months later.
Correct. Now, okay. That takes into account, now that assumes that the .com Act obviously will pass, which does require USG review of the proposals after NTIA certifies it. And that's
right.
What we've been sort of accounting for.
Sure. No, that makes sense, Trang. Thanks. Now, let me go to Olivier. Sorry for putting you on hold there, Olivier, but please jump in.
That's fine, Chuck. Thanks very much, Olivier Capin-Leblanc speaking for the transcript. I have a question regarding the current costs for implementation. If the implementation was to start at some point when we are still in fiscal year 16, how would these costs be currently allocated? Would these be through the current contingency fund, or are there budget items that are there specifically already for INA stewardship implementation? That was my first question, and the second one I'll formulate once I've got an answer on this.
Okay, that's good, and let me go to Xavier on that. I think it was kind of covered in our Sunday session, but Xavier, I'll let you respond to that.
Yeah, so the costs for implementation, we are expecting, so if they would happen in 16, it will be part of the initiative that's currently laid out in that currently captures the costs of the transition, and the cost of implementation would simply be added to the cost of transition if they happen during FY16. During FY17, we will likely see some implementation related, and by the way, maybe some possible still tail end transition related costs happening. And if that would be the case, I would expect both the transition and the implementation cost to be also part of an initiative separate from the ongoing post-implementation costs of the PTI, which would then those be ongoing costs of forever, in quotes, of the maintaining the INA functions under PTI model in within ICANN. So hopefully that clarifies your question, Olivier, and if not, please let me know.
And before we go back to Olivier's second question to see whether it's clear, Olivier, am I correct that that initiative, if I recall correctly, that initiative, the funds are in excess of, predicted to be in excess, may already be in excess, of what was budgeted in fiscal year 16 for the transition. So those are coming out of the reserve fund. Is that correct?
So we don't as of yet know if they're going to exceed the $7 million budget that we have, even though at the current rate of spend, it's likely. And yes, they come out of the reserve fund.
Okay, thank you. I just wanted to add that. Olivier, did that answer your first question?
Yes, thanks very much, Chuck. Olivier speaking. It definitely answered my first question. In fact, it even went to some extent to answer my next question. And I was just going to ask, based on what Xavier has just told us, does he feel confident of being able to produce that budget then? In other words, having the implementation costs in as one item, perhaps detailed in a certain way as a special project or whatever the nomenclature for this is, and already having the running costs being completely separate as if the implementation had already taken place. I gather going through some prediction as to when the implementation will be complete is probably as easy as finding out a whole number of other random items in the world. So to simplify matters, would Xavier then take the implementation as being complete at FY17 start? In other words, have the details of post-implementation IANA and all this be clearly laid out in the budget, including the expected costs for that, since we are aware that there might be a difference in cost before and after integration?
So, Chuck, if I may.
Oh, please, Xavier. I was hoping you would.
Okay. So it's difficult, obviously, right now to say what the timing will be, but I can imagine the following that would make sense to me. Transition. I'm expecting that there will be transition-related activities, possibly, beyond June 30th, 2016. If that's the case, I would assume that we would try to have a placeholder for that in the FY17 budget. Implementation. I would assume also that there would be implementation costs that would happen prior to the end of June and likely after the end of June, therefore in FY17. So I would also want to try to plan for that, even if it's with a placeholder, even if it's with a very high-level estimate or envelope. And then thirdly, I would also presume that we have a defined assumption for the start of the ongoing PTI operating costs that the PTI model will trigger. And that I would also expect to be part of the FY17 plan. And I would expect those three components to be reflected in the plan that we publish on March 5th. Of course, by then, and as we go back to our first slide, by the 15th of January, all those items will be the subject of a lot of assumptions and very little information, which is completely fine. I mean, that's not a problem in my views. It's just a matter of spelling out what these assumptions are. If we, if, for example, we are going down that path, I will say transition activities for 17, maybe we'll have a $1 million placeholder under the assumption that there's some transition activities going on up to, for example, the end of September. And then I would say implementation activities, I would try to have an educated guess with Trang's help of what the implementation activities that would occur during FY17 be, and maybe I would put another million placeholder or two, I don't know. And then I would say the kick in, the PTI costs kick in October 1st, and we're assuming that that would be 9/12 of an annual cost, for example, if we have defined the annual costs, and that's what it would be. So I think it's just a matter of laying out the assumptions and the rationale for those assumptions, which then let anyone understand why the numbers are what they are, and even more than the numbers, understand what the scenario looks like. So I feel completely comfortable doing that, and I would want to do that in a very simple and transparent manner so that everyone understands what assumptions we've retained, so that anyone can say, well, I agree or I don't agree, and why, and then we can take it from there.
Thank you, Zavi. And let me emphasize again then, one of the main objectives of what we're doing in this design team, and ultimately then blessed by the full CWG, would be to, as best as possible, make sure that there's consensus from the CWG on what those assumptions are by January 15th, so that, again, the draft budget includes the best possible assumptions known at that time, realizing that things can change, but hopefully not too much. So
yeah, absolutely.
That's really important.
I completely agree. I mean, there's no scenario, in my views, under which I, to make it simple, would take a different position than the one that appears to be the most relevant and likely by the CWG. I mean, that would be stupid. So I think we just need to find the right, most simple approach. What I'm hoping I can use this group for help with is trying to find an approach by January 15th that is extremely granular, because that would be deemed useful, is something that I want to caution the group with, because granular, and again, you know, accuracy is not precision. If we are very granular, it's going to require a lot more assumption and basically simply providing a lot more grants for discussions on whether assumptions are correct or not without any facts to say so. So let me take a very simple example. If we would want to go very granular as to what the cost of the PTI would be, I would start asking questions. Do you need to have separate insurance versus not? Who's going to have an opinion on that, and what rationale do we use to spell these type of assumptions? So I would simply want to make sure that we have as simple and straightforward assumptions as possible, because I think that will be easier for everyone to coalesce around a position. And I'm hoping that with your help, the CWG can accept that this is probably the most practical, pragmatic, and effective approach to plan for FY17. Recognizing, which I want to make the point that it's important, recognizing that the plan is just a plan. As soon as a plan is published, it's obsolete, right? So it's useful to spell out because it lays out expectations, but we also have to recognize that a week or two after we publish it for public comment, we'll have a lot of information and probably different pieces of information than the data that we'll have entered into the plan. And that's fine. As long as we all accept that reality, then it's also allowing everyone to understand it's no use to go too much in detail when you don't have a lot of information because you're trying to create a reality that is not yet visible. Let me stop there.
Thank you, Xavier. And let me reemphasize one point that I think he made, and I think everybody gets it already. By the way, this is Chuck speaking. That if we try to get too granular in terms of the assumptions by January 15th, we will probably fail. At the same time, to the extent that we can at a high level and in a simple way reach consensus in the CWG on some simple assumptions that the budget team can use to develop that draft budget, that will be very helpful. And so that's where we're headed.
And certainly I'm very happy to help that with providing as usefully as possible any description of assumptions that the CWG can have then a look at with your help and your guidance of this group to look at and say, does it make sense or not? I would want to, you know, this is we're helping each other here, so it's a matter of what is useful for the CWG to look at, what is in your views most adequate for the CWG to be able to weigh in, and how we get to a position of consensus. But I'm very convinced that this is very doable, and I have no doubt that we will get there.
Thank you. Any other questions or comments of Xavier at this point before we move on? Mary, please.
Hello?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay. I agree with most of the things that Xavier has stated here, and I also want to ask whether it's possible to do two scenarios in the proposal, so that in putting out the proposal, if certain assumption this is what you think that it will cost, and another assumption this is what you think it will cost. But I am a bit worried about not taking everything in, and at the end of the and we're not presenting by the deadline. So if we can present by next meeting two scenarios that we can look at, that then I think we will be able to decide which one we go with.
Well, let me respond to that first, and Xavier, if you want to respond, you may as well.
Okay.
The chairs of the CWG asked me to join the first part of their call, a preparatory call yesterday for the meeting that's going to happen tomorrow for the CWG. And what they had anticipated in terms of an approach was that staff would, as Xavier has described, present an approach, and we're calling that this base approach with no operational changes and so forth. They didn't say that, but that's where we're headed, I think. And then the CWG would respond to that rather than starting off with multiple approaches, even if it's just two. So now that's the thinking of the chairs. I'm sharing that. I suspect they will comment on that tomorrow in the meeting. But what I understood from them, and certainly Marika, if you understand, if I didn't get that quite right, please correct me on that. But I think the preference is let's start off with a proposed set of assumptions, like Xavier has mentioned here, and then we'll write those up clear enough so that, as we talked about earlier in this call, so that it can be reviewed and discussed by the full CWG, and then if we need to look at other alternatives, we can do that. Okay. Now, Marika, let me. You were on the prep call, right?
Yes, correct. And I noted in the chat
that I... Did I capture that correctly?
Yes.
Okay,
yes,
good.
I agree with
okay.
your understanding.
Mary, did you want to respond to that?
Yeah, okay. Mary here speaking for the record. Well, if that is the plan or the approach, that's good. And as Olivia, as Sylvia has said, is a plan. A plan is a plan. It's not actually the actual thing. So I don't have problem. You can go by that approach and just look at that one simple, a single approach, and then go with that. But the fact that I was mentioning an alternative is that assuming there's a complete separation. And there is, the status quo remains as just shared services at the ICANN level to PPI. So that was what I was thinking about. But I agree with them so that we keep it simple and we make it easy and make the deadline. I don't have problem with that. I'm fine. Well, on as long as all the assumptions are clearly explained, and again, all the items, all the possible cost items are included in the model that is being built, I think that would be fine for me.
Thank you very much, Mary. And then, of course, if we find out when we present these basic assumptions that there's huge problems by people in the CWG, obviously we're going to have to work on that and see if other alternatives and for which areas, which assumptions may need to be looked at differently. But that'll give us a point of takeoff for where we need to do a little more work. Thanks, Mary.
Okay.
Xavier?
All right, thanks.
Thank you, Chuck. And I think Mary's question or point is allowing me to go back on one of the slides simply because I kind of skipped that. If we go on the next slide, the second next slide, please. The next one. So what I skipped in saying earlier is that the approach that I'm suggesting is that we have a base approach in the plan, which is PTI implemented no separation or no changes to separation, and that we also spell out what alternative scenario there could be to that base scenario, but that we allow ourselves to describe that scenario, have a relatively high-level gap analysis provided along with that scenario that says, the scenario could be, if the base is no changes to separation, an alternative could be, for example, for the sake of simplicity, full separation, and then we would describe what differences there would be under that alternative scenario with the base scenario and say costs would be different for all those reasons with an expected impact of that amount of money, and that would create, if you wish, an alternative scenario. So I don't think the approach of having a base approach is excluding the possibility to have the possibility of showing a scenario, an alternative scenario, and that's what I intended to offer, is that we have a base and an alternative scenario, maybe two if we think that makes sense, so that we can show a little bit of flexibility and sensitivity analysis of the plan to what if things happen differently. A scenario could be about the amount of separation. It could also be about the timing of implementation, for example. So we could have a couple scenarios that would be useful to present as part of the plan to bounce off from a base scenario that would be more detailed and more granular into the plan.
Thanks, Xavier. So my question then, and I guess this is to the staff team, both from the finance team and from the implementation team. So Trang, it'll probably be directed at you as well, or maybe especially at you. Is it possible within 2 weeks, so that would be the 18th of November, to have a more detailed description of item 2, maybe a little bit of item 3 on the slide that's in front of us right now, but where we have a sufficient description for the full CWG, so if we could by the 18th, maybe just a day before the 18th, so that maybe on the 18th we could have another call and finalize what we would present to the full CWG shortly thereafter. I'm guessing that they may have a meeting on the 19th. Don't know if we could get it to them that quickly if there is a meeting on the 19th. But is it realistic in 2 weeks? And, of course, I would have presumed that we would probably have some iterations on the list, the DTO list, in the meantime, so that we can iron out some details and refine it a little bit before we actually have a call to finalize it. Is that unrealistic to do that by then, Xavier?
So I guess I would want to understand slightly better what you have in mind the level of information would be. So I think we can further describe the approach of having a base scenario. We can describe the information that this base scenario would be documented with in the FY17 plan, for example. What is the presumed structure of the INA functions? What is separated from the ICANN operations? What is integrated with the ICANN operations? Basically providing a bit of a model of what the data could look like, and what information would be provided. If it's not already formulated, we would at least say this is, we would describe what we would need to formulate further and that we would expect to put into the plan. We can suggest an approach relative to the transition costs, the implementation costs, and the ongoing post-transition cost, which is what we were discussing earlier with the answer to Olivier's question. So I think we can lay that out in, you know, a bit, basically everything that we said today, we can lay it out at the next level of detail. I don't think we will have much of the implementation plan in the next 2 weeks because that's a lot premature, of course, as per the timing. But I'm not assuming that's what you were asking, Chuck.
Thanks. And I think we're on the same page. I'm not looking. We need to have enough information, and again, I think we covered that on this call. You mentioned, you know, describing what the separation is right now between IANA and regular ICANN functions and so forth, and that kind of information. The key focus, I think, is the assumptions under the base scenario and how they translate in terms of the no operational separation and so forth, so that the full CWG can at least ask meaningful questions and we can begin to zero in to find out whether the assumptions of this base scenario are consistent in people's minds with regard to the recommendations that the CWG has made. So I think what you described is what we need. Now, let me open it up to others. Did we miss any? Did Xavier miss anything in terms of what he described there? I think we do need to talk about the fact that there would be a clear PTI budget eventually, and we're not looking for any of those details about what the amounts would be or anything like that, or even implementation details, because that's beyond our control. But it would be the assumptions that would be used to build the budget. Thanks, Cheryl, for that. Agree. Did that make sense, Xavier?
Yes, it does. One question for you, in order for me to try to gauge the topic of describing the separation of that currently exists between the IANA functions and the rest of the ICANN organization. What knowledge does the CWG have of how the operations are currently organized?
This is Chuck. I think it varies hugely depending on who you're talking to. Okay, some of us that, you know, work with IANA and so forth probably have a much better understanding there than others. But again, I don't think we need to go too deep in that. But when we say something like no change to operational separation, there does need to be this base understanding of what is the current operational separation. Not real detailed, but enough so that they know what that means.
No, absolutely. It means nothing to say no change if you don't know what is the current situation. I completely agree.
Yeah, exactly. So that's good.
Yeah, no, understood. So I think – sorry, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, Trang, does this all make sense to you in your role?
Chuck, Trang had to leave a few minutes ago.
Okay, that's okay. I know you will work with her. Mary's got her hand up. Let's let Mary talk.
Yeah, Mary here for the record. It is important that we look at the – during the CCWG accountability presentation, I did ask a question whether the assumption the proposal they are taking in meeting the requirements of CWG was full separation or was the separation of PTI from ICANN or a non-separation of operations. And the assumption that CCWG accountability is making is that it's a full separation, operational separation. And when it comes to budgeting and planning, or operational planning, we are now looking at what is it that CWG requires. Is CWG saying there should be no operational separation? So we need to clear that point so that it will help Sadia in preparing his figures and his assumptions. So if we are going by the no separation no full separation of PTI operations from ICANN operations, then it will happen. But if we are going by the assumption of CCWG, then it means it will be a full separation. Except CWG is saying, no, we are not looking at full operational separation. Then the budget will make sense, the plan will make sense, the assumptions will make sense. So it's to help Olivier know the line he will take. I mean, Sergio, to know the line he will do in preparing this presentation. Please, we need to help him in at this time. Where is the stand? Thank you. I hope I made my point.
And Mary, this is Chuck. Let me ask a question, because
okay.
I think there's two types of separation we're talking about. One is the operational separation or lack thereof between ICANN and the IANA functions in the initial implementation of PTI. The other one is the separation that could occur down the road somewhere if, in fact, PTI was not correcting problems and performing as needed. So which of those separations are you talking about?
Well, thank you, Mary, again. Thank you. I'm looking at, we are preparing FY17 budget. And we are going to show the PTI budget as a separate budget from ICANN budget. Okay? There is you can assume that operationally the department is still within ICANN. So I'm not looking at down the line. I'm just looking at the transition and the formation of PTI as an affiliate of ICANN, and its operational. It has not gotten any breach at all, and we are still happy with the PTI operation. So as of today, cost, infrastructure, staff, so many overheads are embedded together. So what I'm saying here is the assumption is to have Xavier prepare the budget is to know the stand of CWG. Is CWG seeing less the status quo remain? So it will just be a shared service and or SLA, as Xavier has explained. Or CWG is saying, no, keep all costs, all operations that relate to IANA function separate within PTI. They should, a PTI should have its own finance, should have its own human resource, should have its own legal expenses and all the rest of the expenses. So that's the thing that will, if we take a stand, then it will help with Serbia in preparing the budget. I hope I've answered. I'm not talking about separation down the line. I'm just talking about separating the operations of the current department of IANA from the total operation of ICANN.
Thank you, Mary. And if I understand, this is Chuck.
Yes.
If I understand correctly, so that is the base scenario. Basically, assumes that there would not be some of those separations that you were talking about in the base scenario.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so that's what they're going to describe. Now, if we get a huge reaction from the CWG as a whole that, hey, that's not consistent with what was proposed, then we're going to have to react to that and deal with it. But that's what I understand.
Okay.
Xavier, do you want to comment on that?
No, I think it's a reasonable question. I have not seen anything in the CWG proposal that defines the level of separation, which is why the base scenario approach, I think, is at least a plausible one. And I think that if we lay out an alternative scenario that provides visibility as to what the implications of further separation would be, I think then we cover all bases. And I agree that if the CWG would say, no, full separation is what is wanted, I think that it needs to be I think part of the problem is that there's nowhere in the CWG proposal that this is specified. So would that be a change in the proposal that the ICG should have taken into account, that the CWG is expecting a separation, a full separation of the functions versus what currently is being done. I think that was left unaddressed, not necessarily by design, but simply because that's not what was the level of definition of the proposal. So my point is, I don't see a rationale for doing that. I can see that maybe the discussion could happen. I think, again, this is becoming an implementation design question rather than a planning question. And I think that, you know, we should just take the conversation to the CWG, lay out the case that we just spelled out of a base scenario with an alternative scenario, and see what makes sense. Again, I have not seen anything in the CWG proposal that suggests that there should be separation, and nor in any CCWG conversations, because they're not about that topic, really.
Thanks, Avi. And if we can go back to something that Cheryl said early in our call when we're having the connectivity problems, it seems to me that there could be some phasing involved in terms of the level of separation. For example, okay, this base scenario to start with, but it could be that, and that may be okay at the beginning, but maybe to facilitate, and I'm not saying this is the way it should be, I'm just talking about possibilities, maybe to facilitate the possibility of separation of PTI from ICANN. Some middle ground might be helpful that would make that easier if that should ever happen. I'm not saying that's what should happen, but I think that goes back to what Cheryl was asking about whether, you know, the base scenario is good for now. Maybe a little bit more separation could be deemed to be desirable in terms of facilitating future processes like separation of PTI. So anyway, I'll leave it at that. I know we're at the end of our time. Thanks, Cheryl, for that check mark. I hope I captured that correctly. I wanted to ask one more question before we close and then talk about our action items. But am I correct, Xavier, and I'm sorry Trank's not on, but or maybe she is again. Am I correct that in the assumptions, and these may relate more to fiscal year 16 work that needs to be done, but for example, there's work that needs to be done on the SLEs that will incur some costs and resources and so forth. And I know there's been discussion with Elise on that, on the IANA side. Are those kind of ish costs being considered? Because before we can even define the SLEs, there's some testing that needs to be done and so forth. Is that all included in the work that Trang and the implementation team is doing?
Yes, it is. Trang is not here with me, and I don't know if he can speak, but I think it's fair to say that, yes, it is. It's encompassed into the transition/implementation work that she's leading. And that is true irrespective of whether it is in FY 16 or 17, meaning that implementation/transition work, from our perspective, is an initiative, meaning that it's reserve fund funded and it pertains to implementation as opposed to an ongoing cost of the PTI, basically.
Okay. That's fine.
Okay, thank you. That's very helpful, Xavier. This is Chuck again. So, okay, very good. So let's talk about next steps, because I know we're out of time and I want to wrap this up. Is it fair to assume that staff then, and you guys can determine who's involved in that, will come back with a first cut of a little more detailed description of the base scenario as we've talked about, and do that and present that to the list so that we can discuss it on the list and hopefully finalize it in a call, if we can do a call, 2 weeks from today on the 18th. Is that a reasonable approach going forward?
I think it is. Put it differently, we'll do as much as we can by the 18th so that it can be reviewed by then and at least can serve as a basis for further communication with the CWG. I guess the question I would ask you, Chuck, is there is what we can do by the 18th, and there is what we need to do overall, which may take longer than what we have in between now and the 18th. So I'll go by the constraint that you think is most important to you. We can do something between now and the 18th that I'm sure can help. It may not be the full set of information that would be presented during the in the budget, but I think we can give a shot at it, at least.
No, I appreciate that, and I understand the limitations. The important thing, I think, in my mind, is that we need to get something to the full CWG. It doesn't have to be what's going to be in the budget come and the final assumptions, but we need to, as soon as possible, start testing the assumptions with the full CWG and allow some time for interaction in the CWG. Otherwise, we're going to find ourselves in the first part of January, and we may not be able to properly evaluate consensus in the CWG for that January 15th deadline, which I'm taking as firm. So if you can even start feeding this group, DTO, including the staff people that are on it, information as you develop it, we could start some iterations on the list so that when we get to the 18th, even if we're not totally finished, but I think not too long after the 18th, we need to get something to the full CWG shortly after that, even if we have to add to it as you continue to work on it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, completely. I have no problem with that.
Okay, good. Good. And Brenda, if you can do – well, let me just ask for those that are still on the call. Is the 18th – let's see, am I traveling? No, I'm traveling on the 19th. So is the 18th a possible day to do a doodle poll for another meeting, or maybe even this time would work? But, Brenda, if you can do a doodle poll for the 18th, if anybody – knows that the 18th is a terrible day, speak up now.
This is Mary. I think I'm fine with 18th.
It's Cheryl. The date is fine, but just get Brenda to check. My calendar's showing that the time may have a clash with a planned at-large capacity building webinar. They tend to rotate around times, and the one we did today was midnight my time, but on the 18th I'm seeing it as 8 a.m. my time. So I'm sure we can find times that we'll doodle around that, but Brenda might want to just double-check with Gisela to see if there's a blackout time there that I think we'll be running around that 2000 UTC or 2200 UTC.
Okay, so Brenda, if you can do a doodle poll for a few times on the 18th, that would be good, so we can kind of at least get something on the calendar that works. And in the meantime, we'll watch for stuff from staff, and if all of us will participate, I'm sure Alan will want to get involved once he's off vacation and come up to date with what we talked about today. And then when we get to the 18th, hopefully we will have already made some progress.
Right.
Okay.
Sounds
now,
good.
Is there anything else we need to cover today? Okay, this meeting certainly met my expectations. I hope it was helpful to everyone else. And I think we've set a good starting point for us to facilitate an examination of the assumptions. And thanks for all the help. I really mean this, of Xavier and the full finance team, as well as Trang and the implementation team. It is very much appreciated. And the policy staff, too.
Thank you. Thank you for this call. That was very helpful to us. So I think we're moving well forward, and that's very helpful.
So with that said, I think I can adjourn this call, and we'll continue to work together.
Thank you.
Thank you. Good call. Good outcome. Thank you. Bye.
Bye, all.
Thanks, everyone. Bye.